You may remain standing. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It's great to be in the house of the Lord, even on this chilly day. I have to commend all of you for coming out in this weather, which is, to us, very cold, and getting colder, I understand. I appreciate you for being here and for wanting to be in the house of the Lord on this day. I give you this, bring this as a little reminder. If you haven't picked up one of the empty bags, the ushers can give you one, and then you can bring it back full to the church, and we will have bags to hand out for those needy persons who come by the church office. Or you might keep one yourself in your car for some needy person that you meet and see. But anyway, this is, you can pick up the list with the empty bags in the back. And I am just so grateful to be here and want to wish you a very happy new year. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
My name is Rhonda Barlow, and I am your liturgist and servant for today. My husband is Alan Barlow, and he usually is in the closet, but he's in Japan for a little bit. He came out. My parents are Lloyd and Marlene Stone. So, as you know, I've been going here for quite a while. I also want to wish you a very warm welcome to everyone here this morning at Calvary. We do have some announcements. On the back of your bulletin, I believe that you guys can take care of that by looking at those. Okay. We have a chili cook-off that is happening this Friday. Next Friday, the 15th at 6:30. And it's just based on a donation. There's not going to be any tickets sold. They need at least 10 people to do their versions of their chili. And there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. They do need some volunteers to bring desserts and also see that sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. So contact Diane Rood if you have any other information. And we all know who Diane is. Oh, okay. Spicy judges. Okay. There is an announcement here that there are some dishes, food carriers, etc., that have been left in the kitchen. Please go and pick those up. They are on the counter beside the hot water heater, and thank you for that. Also, too, I noticed that there are still some boxes in the back of the giving envelopes that people have not picked up. If you haven't picked up your envelopes, please do so. They are on the back table there next to the ushers. I noticed that when I walked in this morning. We also have our 50th anniversary celebration that is coming up, January 29th, 30th, and 31st. Please pick up your invitation. There are some on that table back there, and then also to the ushers, I believe, have been handing those out as you walked in this morning. On the 31st, there is just going to be the one worship service at 10:30, followed by our dinner. And we're going to be seeing a bunch of old friends, hopefully, and some of our previous pastors here. Reverend Tim Smiley will be preaching that day. As Pastor Esther mentioned a few minutes ago, the manna bags, those empty bags with the little card inside as to what we needed to put in those are in the back. There's Bill Walker. He's got one, you know, holding it up. Please try to do this. I thought it was pretty inspiring to do something like this and keep it in your car. I mean, how many homeless people do we see every day? And if we saw somebody like that, that we could just take that bag, we had it all ready, and give it to them. How much of a blessing it would be for them, but a blessing back to us. Also, too, there are your newsletters that are back in the lobbies. Do pick those up as far as the upcoming events in the month of January. And let's see here. We have our prayer and praise cards in the pews. If you fill these out and then place these in the offertory plates as they come by. Also, too, salty service cards. I know you guys do something for someone outside of this church every day. You can't tell me that you don't. So, you know, it doesn't mean just one card. It could be five cards if there's that many in your pews to be able to put in the offering plate. There is something that we do for everyone every day, whether it's at the grocery store or if it's at your workplace or wherever you're at, that you do something for someone else out of your heart. Please place those in the offering. And then also, too, we have our cards here for any guests that are here today. We would appreciate you filling this out with all your information because we'd like to be able to contact you back. We appreciate any guests that are here today. If you are a guest, please let the ushers know. Are there any other announcements that I might be missing? Betty?
I'm just wanting to remind everybody that next Sunday we're starting back up on our children's church. We won't be on communion Sunday today, but following that Sunday, we're going to be at our children's church. So we'll have a whole bunch of kids with us.
Good deal. Good deal. Yes. Of the salty service cards?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Who does that? Robin. Yes, ma'am. Okay, that was a great infomercial, don't you think? That was pretty cool. Okay, if there's not any more announcements, then let's open up to our opening words. Lord, from the beginning of times, light made the difference. Let your light shine upon us, Lord. You introduce light by your command and dispel darkness. Dispel our darkness, Lord. Your light is a gift to the world and an answer to our prayer. May we receive your gift, O Lord. We come in our darkness and prefer to remain hidden. Shine your light upon us, Lord. Remove our stubborn wills and penetrate our darkness. Come into our lives with light, Lord. Let our lives be gifts to you and brightness to others. Make us shine with your light, Lord. Fill this place and this place with light eternal. We will shine for you, Lord. Amen.
If you would stand and turn in your hymnals to number 219.
Okay, all right. We got three boys and one girl. I hope that's okay. You feel okay about that, Sarah? Okay, good. I want to talk to you today about the Christmas tree in your house. I bet all of you had one. Did all of you have a Christmas tree in your house? You had a small one? Tell me what was it. Yes, Zachary.
Christmas tree out of soda cans.
Well, that was creative. That was a creative thing to do. I want you to tell me what was on the top of your Christmas tree. What was on the top of your Christmas tree? You remember what it was?
I didn't have anything because we couldn't find anything small enough.
You couldn't find anything small enough for her little 4-inch tree. You had Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on top of your tree? Oh, wow. Okay.
But it was soft.
John, how about you? What did you have on the top of your Christmas tree? You had nothing on the top of your Christmas? My goodness gracious. I was hoping I was hoping someone would say that they had an angel on top of the tree. How many of you had angels on the top of your tree? A lot of people did. But guess what? I had this on the top of my tree. What was this? A star. How many of you had stars on the top of your tree? A few people did. You know, it's getting to be more and more common. I see in the stores and in people's homes and that people put angels on the top of their tree. But I'm a little old-fashioned. I like to put a star on the top of my tree. Do you know why I put a star on the top of my tree? Does anybody remember that part of the story about the star? What do you remember, Bradley? The star came out when Jesus was born, and then what happened? Who did the star shine on? Yeah, it actually shined on the whole world, didn't it? Can't you go outside at night and see the stars, and the same people on the other side of the earth see also the stars, the same stars? They see the same stars as we do. But this light is the light that the three wise men used to find their way to Jesus, because they believed back then that when an important person like a king was born, that something celestial would happen to notify the world that there was a new king. And that's what the three wise men believed, and so they followed the star in the sky, and we believe that God sent that star to let us know of the birth of Jesus, who is our king, and so that the three wise men followed him. And we're going to be talking about that today. It's a big fancy word, but we're leaving on January 6th as the end of Christmas and the beginning of a season called Epiphany. And I'm going to talk with you about what Epiphany means. Basically, it means manifestation or appearance. And that's what we say the star did. It appeared to show us the way to Jesus. And that's what the three wise men followed to find him. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We pray for your light to shine upon us all, O God, and that we may receive the gift of your light in the Son that you have given us, and that we may follow the light wherever you would lead us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, here you go. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Now we continue to worship God this morning with the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. Let us pray. O gracious and loving God, we come to you in prayer to thank you for your goodness to us, especially in shining the light of your Son in our lives. And we pray, O God, that we will continue to be your servants in this time and in this place as we share the ministry of your love to the whole world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. may be seated.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have been blessed to hear again some of those songs from our cantata. That was beautiful. Thank you. Before we join together in the prayer of confession, which is in your insert on the back side of your opening words, I want you to turn to that so you're ready to go with that. I want to invite Thomas. Are you coming by yourself? All right, Thomas, come on up. He is going to share a prayer after the prayer of confession, and we are so grateful for him to be able to do this. Are you going to stand over there, or are you going to come over here?
I have the microphone ready if you'd like to use it.
Which microphone are you going to use, that one or that one? That one?
It's on there.
All right, so now let's bow our heads and open our hearts to God in prayer. God, we have sinned in 2015. We will sin in 2016. We are quick to forget about the birth. We get bogged down in worrying about bills and returning gifts and losing weight. We try to be hopeful for the new year, but we are full of anxiety about violence, presidential race, and climate change. So many stressors. And we lose sight of you, forget what it's all about. Forgive our sins. Teach us anew as Jesus taught in the temple. Yes. Amen. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Because of Christ, our God forgives our sins. Know that throughout the new year, God will be with you through worship and prayer and one another. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
There's a prayer from the... Sorry.
Go ahead.
This is a prayer from the youth. Lord, at the beginning of this new year, I offer you my life. Come take my voice. May the words I speak be filled with encouragement and goodness. Come take my hands. May the work they create be generous and giving. Come take my feet. May the journeys I walk be led by your spirit within. Come take my life, Lord, for I love your goodness, your kindness, and your leading. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Sorry. Our scripture reading is out of Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons will come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, and the wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you. We've had some terrific the prayers, the singing. And this morning, I want to come to you and talk a little bit as a teacher more than a preacher, I guess. I want to talk to you about Epiphany and the meaning of Epiphany. And, you know, I have some friends who, because the season of Advent is so filled with activities and things going on, that they don't send out Christmas cards, they send out Epiphany cards. And they send out Epiphany gifts sometimes. So I want to talk a little bit about Epiphany, its connection to Christmas, and it is the season that we go into on January the 6th. Now, most of us were probably introduced to Epiphany through that image of the three wise men following the star. In fact, that's what we got on the cover of our bulletin. You see those three wise men and the star in the sky with the word Epiphany. In some cultures, Epiphany is known as the Day of the Kings, or Three Kings Day, Dia de los Reyes. It's also known as Twelfth Day or Twelfth Night, reflecting on the custom of giving a gift for each of the days of Christmas from December 25th to January 6th, and that's where we come up with the 12 days of Christmas. The day has special meaning for a number of reasons. Several branches of Christianity don't celebrate Jesus' birth on the 25th, they celebrate it on the day, on the 6th, which is the day traditionally that the Magi arrive to worship the Christ child. The word Epiphany, as I told the children, means appearance or manifestation. You might liken it to words such as Eureka or Aha. And use of this word by us English speakers conjures images of having a light bulb turned on over your head, of being able to see something that was previously hidden from view. And the scripture passages that we will be reading in the season of Epiphany for the next few Sundays dramatize the many ways that people come to understand who Jesus was through his baptism, the miracle of the changing the water into wine at the wedding of Cana, and the declaration when he was teaching in the synagogue in his hometown, the declaration he made about himself, that the reading had been fulfilled in this hearing. But this ever-widening circle of revelation began outside of the circle of Judaism, so to speak, with the Magi and the three kings. And let's talk about who those three kings were. Many versions of the Bible refer to them as the wise men, and we sometimes forget that they were non-Jews. And we really don't know where they came from, but old sources suggest they were priestly descendants of one of the tribes of the Medes, known for their knowledge of the stars or astronomy, and their ability to interpret dreams. And what can we learn from these wise men that followed the star over to Jesus' birth? First, the wise men began their journey because of their beliefs. And as I also mentioned to the children, it was a common belief that when a world leader like a king was born, that a special stellar phenomenon, a star, would appear in the sky to announce the birth. The Magi saw something that convinced them that they had seen the long-awaited sign for a new king. Historians tell us that the Jews, the Romans, and the Persians were all looking for something to appear in the sky about that time, looking for signs of the birth of an extraordinary king. And a few years before that, around 11 BC, Halley's Comet had been seen. There were other phenomena, including a star, a bright star called Sirius, which appeared during the daytime rather than at night. And the wise men saw something, a star that pointed to them and where the child was being born, and they followed that star. And we pray in our lives that God will give us inspiration and guidance for our journey. We may not follow a star, but at the same time, we keep ourselves focused on the source of the light wherever the journey takes us. Second, The wise men were willing to follow what they had seen into unknown territory. It took them out of their native land, outside their country, and outside their comfort zone. The wise men risked the consequences of disobeying Herod, you may remember, who was known to behave as a madman when provoked, and therefore they returned to their country by another way. They were warned in a dream not to return to their country by the same way for fear of Herod. The Christian journey, likewise, is often an off-road excursion. If we follow the light, it may take us into uncharted territory. Third, the wise men were committed to the journey wherever the star might lead. They set out to find a newborn king by following a star and ended up finding a baby born to young and poor parents. Not exactly what they would have expected for a king, and not what befit their dignity as priests. And we pray in this coming year that we look to heaven for guidance, for comfort, and that we accept God's blessings in whatever forms we find them, just as the wise men accepted their long, expensive journey that led them to a baby born to these young, inexperienced parents who lived on the poor side of the tracks. Finally, the wise men brought gifts, and this may be something that you remember from your childhood. I don't know if you remember what the gifts mean. It was customary for people to bring gifts to royalty when they were visiting royalty. And gold was the kind of gift that you brought to a king. Does anybody remember why frankincense was brought? Frankincense was the kind of gift that you would bring to a priest. And myrrh was given to someone who was about to die. And so those were the gifts that were brought to the baby Jesus by the three kings. And on the 12th day, which is actually January 6th, or Three Kings Day, think of the gift that you will offer in this coming year. The gift of time, perhaps. The gift of your talents. Your service in the community. Your witness and testimony, the gift of your undying love and devotion to God. The greatest gift comes to us in the form of a realization. The wise men were the first Gentiles to recognize that Jesus belongs to everyone. Good news is for everyone, not just a select few. The star is seen by everyone. The light shines on the whole world. Star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Amen. I want to invite you to turn into your bulletin to the insert for Holy Communion. You do not need to turn in your hymnals, as it says, because the whole service is printed out for you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. In his baptism and in table fellowship, he took his place with sinners. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, we pray the prayer that he taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." The ushers will direct you following the choir, who will come first to receive God's gifts at the table of God. And I invite all of you, whether or not you're a member of this church, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be Methodist. It's not my table or the church's table. It's God's table. And all these gifts are offered to you and you may come and receive the good gifts of God at the table of the Lord. Will you now come? Will the choir lead the way? Wash your hands.
There'll be a slight change. If you'll stand and turn to page 254 in your hymnals, we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5 of We Three Kings. Miss Penny will sing 2 and 4.
The light of Epiphany comes into every single worship service when the acolyte or the usher brings the light of Christ in. So that symbolism stays with us all year round. And the two candles on the altar, one is for Jesus' divine side and the other is for Jesus' deity side, God side. And, of course, the Christ candle of the Advent season. We light it when we come into our worship space. And the reason it goes out is because that light is supposed to go with us. Amen. It doesn't just stay here in this building. It goes out into the world. Amen. Like we go out into the world. Amen. So I pray for your light to shine on others, that you follow God's light shining upon you in this new year. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you. Go in peace. Amen.
take Christ with you wherever you go.
Thank you.